Today, I want to talk to you or to share with you about a very, very known servant of God called Abraham. Everyone knows that name. It's a common name. And that's a common story and a verse. It's like when you talk John 3:16. Every Christian or church attendant knows that. So when God loved the world, So we're going to read this Genesis 22. So I'm going to need somebody who's going to read quicker than me to save time. Pastor Joey, do you mind? Do you mind to read this for me? Okay, do you need my microphone?
Genesis 22? Yeah, okay. 14, okay, all right. So I'm just going to read this off the screen. Yeah, let's do that. We usually do. Let's stand. We're going to read the word. Let's stand together and honor the word. We usually do that. Genesis 22, verses 1 through 14. Yeah, okay. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there and we will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, Pastor. So I want to name my message, "The Test in Your Calling." I heard here saying, "Testing your calling," but should be "The Test in Your Calling." Or challenges. You know, we talk a lot about temptations, trials, and sometimes we really don't understand what we are going through, whether we are being tested or being attempted. But it would be good to know what exactly you are going through and who is the cause of that. For sure we know that our God will never come and tempt us. And for sure we know Satan never come and test us. Satan will always come and attempt you because he wants you to fail. But when God comes to test you, it's like a teacher giving exams to his or her students. And this teacher, no matter how difficult the test is going to be, but he's excited to see the students passing. And if the results comes, and when her or his class performed well, she will be excited. And that's why you see that sometimes they promote the teachers and they give them some awards because their classes performed better. That's the work of the tester. But the work of the attempter, he wants you to fail, to lose what you have. So in this case, Abraham is being tested by God. And we take God as a good teacher who has a class and trying to promote his students to another class or another grade, from grade 2 to 3, 4, 5, 8, and wherever, and then university and graduate. So Abraham is having this test. And you and me, we have to remember that Abraham was called way back from Genesis 12 to leave his house. God is telling Abraham to leave from his father's house to go to a place he will show him. He's not telling him that I have a certain place I want you to go, but he's telling him, I'm going to show you the place I want you to be. What you have to do is just leave your family, pack, and go. So now Abraham is moving by faith to go to the place he doesn't know, but trusting God that God is going to do something and is going to show him a place. And that's why Hebrews chapter 11, verses 9, that verse comes back saying that because of faith, Abraham decided to leave, to go to a place he doesn't know because of faith. So, let us focus on what I want to talk about. According to Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 to 14, a big mess in the family. And remember, Abraham, they took so long. They got married, and they wanted to have family. And 95 out of 100 families, they would have to get children when they get married, or the couple. Marriage is not all about children. But if you have children, it's a gift from God. And it's amazing having children. I'm saying that to show you the chapter of 22, verses 1 to 14. You see how difficult it is. A big number here, you are parents, I am. You have children, sons and daughters, and also you have grandchildren. I don't have grandchildren yet. But you know how it feels on Christmas when they come all home. Thanksgiving, when they come, the house is packed. The house is noisy again because you sit in the same table, dining. That's an amazing time. You take pictures and then they go and the house is quiet again. You just love them. You can't wait them to come back to be together. So it's amazing having family. On Friday, it was Valentine's Day, right? And if you go on social media, you can see how people express their love, telling how they love their partners. Some of you made posts on Facebook, and you read some posts on Facebook. Happy Valentine's Day, I love you, papa, 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 papa. You know what happened. Different messages. And I want to read you one of the messages on social media I got on Friday. Happy 14th Valentine's Day to the most wonderful, loving, hardworking, most beautiful wife any man could ask for, and the most smartest, creative, kindest daughter any father could ask for. I love you to infinity and beyond, dash, dash, and dash, dash, happy Valentine's Day. Who recall that post on Facebook? You do recall that? So I said here, but just listen to this message from the bottom of his heart. Eh? Let me read it again. Happy 14th Valentine's Day to the most wonderful, loving, hardworking, most beautiful wife any man could ask for, and the most smartest, creative, read that, because your post. You don't recall it? Kindest daughter any father could ask for. I love you to infinity and beyond. Patricia Ego and Miranda Ego, happy Valentine's Day. My goodness. My point is, you can hear that message. You see the love. And when his wife reads that message, you're going to say, wow, he loves me. And now in the morning, verses 1, you did not get my verses as you wanted. Verse 1, you can't find it? Okay, you got it? Okay, yeah. Okay, let us go with this. So now, verses 2. God said, take your son and your only son. Okay, let us bring this like this. Now, he made this post. And now, the next day, God comes, say, I want your wife. Or, I want your daughter. Wow. So, I can ask that, what are you going to do? Are you going to take this daughter? And God is asking, take whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on the mountain. I will show you. It's challenging. The answer is, me and you, we can do that. I don't know how strong is your faith. But to be honest, okay, I don't know. Maybe you can do it. Sam, I can't do that. Tricia, Spencer, and Brittany, my children, I can't do that. That would be a big test to me. But God is coming in this time. Not because he really wants you to go and kill. And he's not going to tell you that, okay, I'm just testing you. He's coming to say, I want her or I want him for sure. But just remember how long they took to get Isaac. I can see Sarah being so desperate without a baby. When you read chapter 16, Genesis, verses 1, and you go down, you're going to see Sarah asking her husband to go and sleep with Hagar or Hagar or whatever that name, the maid, so that they can have a baby. And this is not common, and no one of us here can do it. There is no any wife or lady or woman in this house can wake up one of the morning and say, my husband, go to such lady and lady spend there 2 days, you come back. No. The same thing we men, it can't happen to say, go. Oh, you go, my wife, go and spend 2 days with a certain man, you come back here. No. Of course, no. That's me. If you can do it, then we have another Abraham and Sarah in this house. But what amazing lady who can give permission. It shows how desperate she was. She wanted a baby very badly. Because God had promised, but they waited. They are getting old. Abraham is old. Sarah is old. So she said, it seems there is no hope anymore. The only way to get a son, go and get our maid so that we can have a son. But that was not a promised son. So Abraham did, and that was a mistake. If you want to recall one of the mistakes Abraham did, it's one of them. But eventually God fulfilled his promise. They got Isaac. So now look, Sarah is pregnant for 1 month. Okay, let us say 3 months, 4 months, they went to scan. I'm not sure that they had a scan by then, but let us pretend that we are in this generation. They went. They have a baby, and it's a boy. They go for shopping. They are excited, buying everything for babies. You know what you do when you are pregnant. Excited, giving testimony in church. Praise God! Sarah is pregnant. God answers prayer. Papa, papa. Okay. Sarah is 1 week to be born or 1 month. Baby shower. Inviting the church to celebrate because Abraham and Sarah finally have Isaac. 1 year, 2 year Isaac. Oh, kids are so good. 1 year, 2 years, you know, you just love them to death, you know. But when they go like 3, 4, they become naughty and mean. But I can see the excitement of this old couple having their first baby together in life. Oh, my goodness. They loved him to death. They gave him everything he wanted. Because they waited for him for so long. And now Isaac is grown. The Bible does not specify how old was he. But what we can say, he was old enough to know what is going on. And in fact, he was old enough to fight his old father, not to sacrifice him. But he didn't do that. So one of the challenging verses in this course is verse 2. Wake up in the morning. What are you going to say if God comes and say in the morning? We learn something from here. And I myself, if you are not, I am. You find in this chapter, verses 2, there is no excuse. There is no discussion. How many times do we give excuses? How many times do we consult to 100 people to do what God is asking us to do? I need to talk to my this, I want to, which is okay, but there are some cases you're not gonna need to share because it's you and God. I'm not sure whether I'm gonna have any MA, but I came ready for that. Because this is a scary story. But remember, this is Sarah, this is Abraham. And God came, spoke to one of them. This one did not hear anything. Because everyone has different calling. We may be Christian attending the same church, but we can be married too, but everyone has got different calling if God wants to do that without any permission. So he's asking Abraham, without involving Sarah in this, and telling him, I want him. Not 1 week from now, tomorrow. So we see Abraham, the next verse, waking up to go get ready without informing Sarah what is going on. To walk for 3 days to go and not only to worship and come back, but the command was go and sacrifice him. Since I read your post, I didn't ask your permission, but I think you're okay since it was on public social media. I don't know how many kids you've got, but let me say you have this daughter. So God has asked him in the morning to take her. In the morning, he gets ready to take him. He knows he's going to walk for 3 days and kill him or her and comes back without you knowing. So for 3 days, Abraham is walking, thinking inside of him, oh my goodness, what's going to happen? And I can see him praying. What a test and what a challenge. And it can happen to anyone. And right now, as I'm speaking, there are some people who are going different challenges here. Maybe God is not asking your son or your daughter or your grandchildren, but God is asking you something. If God comes here and says, okay, I want you to go to China right now to spend there a month. And of course, you know what's happening in China. And those people who are going to come back from China, they're going to be kept for like maybe 3 weeks, not to be released in the public because they have a very, very bad virus. But if God says, okay, next week, get your ticket, go to China. Or go to Iran, go to Iraq or Afghanistan. It's going to be like, no. Iran just bombed our bases in Iraq. Oh, no, I'm not going to China. No. But God comes not to put you in danger. And if it seems like he's putting you in danger, he's willing to get you out of the danger. But he's not going to tell you. When the teacher gives the tests and examinations, he's not going to tell the answers to the students. But the teacher knows. That's why when the teacher comes to mark, going to stick right or X, wrong. But the teacher will not say, okay, this question, this is the answer. He wants to prove you. So in this case, God is trying to prove Abraham because it's not all about saying that I love God, but it's all about living loving life. It's not all about mentioning faith, but it's all about living the faith love life, trusting life. So in this case, God is coming to prove him. You say you love? Yeah. He's going to send strangers to fulfill the scripture says in Matthew 25 from chapter 25 from verses 31, you go down. When the Bible says, I was stranger. You let me in your house. I was hungry. You gave me food. I was naked. You gave me clothes. And now this stranger is going to come and knock on your door. Please, can I have accommodation at least for one night? No, I don't have a stranger. But what does the Bible say? I'm not saying that we should risk it. But there is a reason why we have the Holy Spirit to test people who are in front of us. So God is coming to Abraham to prove, do you really love and trust, and can you give me your best? So it's all about Abraham to say no or yes. So it's a painful process. So in the morning, he gets ready without telling Sarah. Is that right? Doing things secretly without informing your husband or your mother or your wife? No. But in some cases, we're going to do things secretly to make sure that no one going to intervene us to do God's will. He's going. One of the... This is... Let me see four. Four is here. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servant, stay here. That's another challenging time. He has walked for 3 days. Now he can see the place. So he's coming close and close to lose the son. He had faith. He loved God, but as a parent, you have to cry. But also, you don't have to show Isaac that you are crying. You have to keep it. Because the time you cry, Isaac is going to ask you, Daddy, why are you crying? And what are you going to say? Are you going to say, I'm crying because in a few minutes from now, I'll be killing you? The moment you say that, Isaac may run away, and then you fail your test. So you have to do whatever it takes, no matter how difficult, how painful it is, as long as you're going to make God happy, please him. This is a testing time. He tells them, the two servants, stay here. Me and my son or this boy will go. Why do you think he's telling the two servants to stay? He's trying not anybody to stop him doing God's work. What God has called him to do. Because the moment he goes with these two, they will not let him put his hand. They will call the police to come and arrest somebody who's trying to murder someone. And that's the reason why he did not tell Sarah. He just left. Sarah, knowing that they are going to do something, sacrifice, and they will come back, whereby her son was going to be the sacrifice. So Abraham said, please stay here. Me and him, we will go. And they stayed. But any moment passes, any minute passes, Abraham is coming close to lose the only son he has got. It's very sad. And God is watching, and the teacher is watching. And the good thing, God will never let you alone to go through that process. He's watching over you because he wants to help you not to fail. Whereby the devil, who will be like pushing you to fall, pushing you to fall. Another challenging verse here. I don't know which verse is that. 7? Where is 7? I need to go back? Okay, on top. Okay. Yeah. Isaac spoke and said to his father, Abraham, Father! Abraham said, my son. He replied, the fire and wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? That's another challenging question from the son to the father. Are you going to tell him, don't worry about the sacrifice? No. He's saying God is going to provide. But he's not sure. This is the person, this is the man who always risky. It's the man in Genesis 12 left his father's house to go to a place he doesn't know anybody. He doesn't know who's going to accommodate him. There is no house. There is no food. Apart from the little they packed. He just left and went. It's the person who just left to go to Egypt. And he said, my Sarah, let us pretend that you are my sister. Because the moment I say you are my wife, you are so beautiful, I'm going to be killed. I don't know what's going to happen to you. The moment I say that you are my sister, I'm sure they're going to take you from me. But for this case, nothing to do. You have to be my sister. And it happened. They took Sarah to the king. But as I said, God will never leave you in trouble, in test. Because God came and said to the king, don't touch Sarah. So he knows the beginning and the end. For us, we just need to step on our way to start the journey. He knows. He's our direction. He's our GPS. Like when I was driving yesterday, the GPS can tell you, turn here, turn there, turn there, turn there. You just need to listen as long as it doesn't get you lost. But 95% GPS is right. So God will never, I've been disappointed by GPS before, but I keep using it. See verses 10. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. This was the last moment. I believe he was praying, God, the time is now. I need a picture. There is a picture I want to come up on here. Now, verses 10 is getting ready to slay. In his mind, I want to pause that video because I want this, pause it. Good, great. In his mind, he's like, okay, I'm going to kill Isaac. But another big question is, what am I going to tell Sarah when I go back? Okay, he can do better, he can bear with it, because he's the man of faith, but what is he going to tell Sarah when he goes back? That was the big question of this man. What am I going to tell Sarah? Have you ever got such questions? God is asking you to do something, but you have people you have to consult from. Maybe your children, maybe. God is telling you to do something, but you have people who are supposed to make decision for you. And oh, you feel like, okay, I'm ready to do this, but I need to answer many questions. So I'm here to tell you today and encourage you today that if God has called you to do something, he's gonna help you. He just wants you to take a step. Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We'll worship and then we'll come back. What amazing confession. He's believing this painful time. He's prophesying. He's confessing. Stay here. We're gonna come back. church, that's what we need to do. No matter how the situation will be, we have to be positive. Say, God, I'm gonna make it. I'm gonna go through this. No matter what the doctor said, no matter how bad is your report is from the doctor, but as a Christian born again, you have to keep confessing that, God, I'm gonna be okay. Who told him yet that you're gonna come back with Isaac? None. Because the teacher, remember, does not provide the answers with the test. And remember, this was a test. But he's like, God, I know you promised me Isaac. I don't know what you're going to do, whether I'm going to kill him. Then this, maybe the third day or the second day, you're going to raise him back. But what I have to tell them, I'm going to come back with him. Proverbs 18:21. If we have that, if we don't, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. When God was creating the world, he just said, let there be light. Let there be water. Let there be water and water. And it happened. So we do have that power as born again Christian. Whatever situation you go through, the tongue has the power. You can create life and you can cause death. And whoever loves it will eat its fruits. Abraham is saying, we will come back. We will come back because his tongue has power to kill or save. The same person who's telling his son, the Lord will provide. Because the tongue has the power. The way you use your mouth, you may never know, but that's what you're going to be. The words you proclaim to your kids, that's what they will be. We better be careful using this tongue. I'm sick. I'm going to be okay tomorrow. I'm not poor. I'm rich. My kids are going to be amazing. They will serve the Lord. I've seen scriptures in the house that says, me and my house and family we shall serve the Lord. And now God sends someone, because you said and you have a scripture, you, your family, and your house, you serve the Lord. And will never allow anybody in your house, but there is a scripture hanging on the wall. And God here is testing, not only to say it. You go to a church and you see the signpost says, everyone is welcome here, the signpost of the church says. And when you go in the church, the faces of the people are like, what are you doing here? Who are you? I've seen that before. It's not all about writing signposts and singing songs. It's just to live the scriptures. So I have a question. What's your challenge? There is nothing. I need that picture back of Abraham. Yes, please. Thank you. And pause it. As I'm winding up, what is your test? What is your challenge? And what are you going through? And who are you accountable for? After doing something, you're going to give accountability to someone. Because as you can see, just a few seconds from here. There is not much distance from here to here. It will not take even a minute. But he's wondering, the time I reach here, he will be done. But what am I going to tell Sarah? If you are here today, you are going through something. We really don't need to know that, and you don't need to know what I'm going through. We're going to give it to the Lord right now as I'm inviting Pastor Joey to come to the keyboard and can give us any song if you like. And welcome the ministers here to pray briefly to the people. If you are here and you feel like it has been too much, and you don't know how you're going to explain after this, and you really feel like you don't want to share, and you feel like God is insisting for you to do something for Him, maybe becoming part of worship team, maybe becoming part of activities in church. Maybe God is sending you somewhere, but you're not sure. Some of you need permission from your wives to do what God is asking you to do. Some of you need permission from your husbands. Some of you need permission from your children to do what God is asking you to do. And you really don't know because you think you're going to make a mess in family when you do this decision. I can't help you in this. But only God can help you. I want to pray with someone. If you are here, you say that you want to pray together. Ministers here are going to pray with you. Just come to the altar. Because what helped Abraham to overcome and pass the test? Remember, Genesis chapter 12. When Abraham left the house of his father, he built the altar for God. That was the most powerful beginning of his succession and passing, because he was a guy who was praying. When he went to the new place, the first thing to do, he was to build an altar. We should build our altars in our houses, in our offices, in our cars, wherever we are. Father, I want to thank you right now. We know we are going through something, but every time where there is an entrance, there is an exit. We know that, Lord, when you come to test us, you don't want us to fail. You want us to pass, and you promote us. Maybe, God, you will not demand children from our family. Maybe you are not demanding my Spencer, my Trisha, and Brittany. Maybe you are demanding my time. Maybe you are demanding my viability. Maybe you are demanding my obedience. Maybe you are demanding my financial. Maybe you are demanding my education to be part of your kingdom. Maybe you are demanding my skills to bless someone. Maybe you are demanding me to embrace someone. I want you to stand with me right now. Stand with your feet. But if you can't stand, just stay seated. No problem. But just tell God to help you in this. Maybe you've lost someone. You can't forget this. You lost the loved ones. You lost the children, the son or the daughter. You can't get over of it. I know. But just say, God, here I am today. I have tried a lot. Maybe you've been disappointed. Maybe your marriage seems it's not working. There is a test. Maybe there is no good relationship between you and your children. That could be a test. You can't even call your children and talk to them anymore. And you feel like this is too much. Maybe that's the test. God is here today to tell you that He's gonna be with you when you go through fire, when you go through waters, up on the mountain and down the valley. God is gonna be with you. Give it to Him. just today, just surrender. Surrender and say, Lord, I surrender. And invite him in your house. I know how lonely you are in that house. You feel lonely, but I'm telling you, God said, I'll never leave you lonely. You are not alone. Invite him to have coffee with you. Invite God to sleep with you on that bed. You feel so lonely. You cry. You lost friends. It's not too late, God, to recover everything. Thank you, Jesus. So I want you to say these words with me. Say, Lord, here I am. Just help me to go through it. And after, it will be testimony. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you, Jesus. May God bless you so much. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I hear people say amen? Hallelujah. 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 I don't hear you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to say amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's done. Keep trusting the Lord. Keep confessing. You're going to see the change in your life. In your situation, not because I've said, but the Lord is with you. He knows whatever you go through. He knows how you cry every day. Amen.